Joining us now, he is Mike Sando of The Athletic. Follow him on Twitter at SandoNFL. Mike, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Good to be here. Thank you. Good to be back.
Yeah, absolutely. Glad to have you back. Got to talk about your Sando's pick six column that came out yesterday. That's why I wanted to reach out to you and talk to you. Interesting when, you know, I see quotes in there, people kind of lining up in the division, the coaching jobs that have been done to this point. My thing is, and we talked about it earlier in the show with Sam Darnold, is we've seen guys have small sample size of runs like Nick Foles, where he gets on a run through the playoffs and they win a Super Bowl, but he never really had to do it for an entire season. Outside of Geno Smith, I don't think there's a lot of reclamation projects where it completely turns around and they have long periods of sustained success. And I guess that's why I'm kind of second guessing as far as how long this is really going to last for the Vikings with Sam Darnold.
Yeah, I think that's a totally fair point. If you go back a couple years, even when he was in Carolina, he started 3-0 and had great stats then too, and then it fell apart. I think after that point in the season, he was like 6 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. So he could go off the rails at any time. I do think he does have talent. I do think he has been in really bad places, and I think he's in a really good place now where they can, you know, they can block for him. He has excellent weaponry that's probably going to get better as they get healthier. And I think Kevin O'Connell is proving some things. You know, I would have said coming into this year that, well, I liked what he did. I think, you know, Kirk Cousins helped him too, just as a pro polished quarterback. It wasn't like he developed him from nothing. They plugged him in. I think we've seen this year, okay, it's not Kirk Cousins. It's somebody who's been on the rocks, and he's doing well. So I think you have to give them some credit. I did do actually my column last week, was looking at, you know, how sustainable is this? Because it's very rare for, like you said, a quarterback to kind of come out of nowhere after they've already been established as not very good and then have a longer good career. You know, we've seen, you know, I mean, go back to Rich Gannon, became MVP of the league, but and had bounced around a couple of teams. But I would really say Geno Smith, you know, Baker Mayfield, to some extent, he had some success early with Cleveland and then was injured and then bounced around and people wrote him off. And he now has one season plus, you know, two of the first three games have been pretty good. So he may be in that category a little bit. And then Tua, to me, Tagovailoa, without changing teams, was really horrific, you know, to where you didn't think he could play in the league. And well, you're not saying he's amazing now. You know, in that system with things right around him, he can be productive. So those would be, I think, some guys. And beyond that, it is a bunch of guys who never really pulled out of that, you know?
Yeah, no question about it. The other thing, too, about the Vikings, and you bring it up in your piece yesterday, is the job that Brian Flores is doing with that defense, and we saw this last year of the how good this defense is as well, which takes pressure off of the quarterback from not having to score every time they get the ball.
Totally. So there's going to be ups and downs for Minnesota because you're not going to do that the whole year defensively. You know, unless it's the 2000 Ravens, which I don't think they are. They will have games where they have to play from behind. And Darnold, I think, will still make some mistakes in that context. I mean, he kind of tried to against Houston with that early kind of flip pass that was ruled incomplete. Remember?
Yep.
They ran in the red zone. It was like when he did that, I had like 3 or 4 games going. I didn't have the sound. And I was like, oh, there goes Darnold, you know, he's doing it. And then it ended up not hurting him because they said the play was over. So I think he has 2 pass attempts this year when they've been behind. So I think you're right. This is going to even out. He's not going to have 50 touchdown passes this year and be on fire. But I think he can be, he may be one of those guys who comes out of this year and gets a job somewhere that's better than the jobs he's had. And maybe it's a starting opportunity or they're going to draft somebody or you compete. I could totally see that happening.
It's amazing when you then look at the Packers with Malik Willis. Again, Darnold was a top pick. Malik Willis was a 3rd-round pick, only had 3 starts in the league to begin with. They didn't even have a passing touchdown. And you come in, now again, favorable matchups with 2 quarterbacks that like to turn over the ball in Richardson and Levis. I get that. But still, the job that Matt LaFleur and this coaching staff was able to do offensively, 2 different game plans from 1 week to the next, with the same guy in Malik Willis, and win both those games, I think is truly remarkable.
See, LaFleur is proving himself in the same way, right? He inherits Rodgers, and so you don't know how much credit to give him, but then they get Jordan Love going, and then to go 2-0 with Malik Willis, I thought it was not possible. And no disrespect to Malik Willis, but there just wasn't a track. When you'd watched him play before, it was a struggle.
Yep.
And you just didn't think, you know, I think any really good coach can, you can lightning in a bottle one week and, you know, pull out a win with an amazing defensive performance and that sort of a thing. But to do what they did, you know, in that style 2 weeks in a row, and the defense played well too, and it helps playing Will Levis, you know, and Anthony Richardson, who were just starting out. But guess what? Those teams were saying it helps playing Malik Willis. Those teams had this game circled that they should win. So it took to dominate really twice with a totally different style of play. I agree. I thought it was really impressive by LaFleur and the whole staff offensively.
So this is the thing. So when you see LaFleur do what he's doing, and then you see Miami lose Tua and see what that looked like last week, and it looks like that all the time when they lose Tua with McDaniel as the head coach, does that speak more about LaFleur or less about McDaniel as this offensive genius?
That surprises me because I do think Mike McDaniel's really good. Now, this last game, again, you know, Seattle's defense is really good, and going into Seattle is tough. And so, you know, maybe they're so predicated on the timing of the passing game to maximize it that Tua really is valuable to him in that style. And then when they try to change it up, is their team just not suited to that? It's interesting to me how their running game is put together with, you know, super fast guys. Does it need to be really practiced and precise? Because I have felt like they've been on the cutting edge of some of the fast motion and timing things up right and hitting people off balance, right? Can they not plug in a replacement guy quickly and make that work? Does he not have the whatever pitch that, you know, Matt LaFleur has to play in that way? I do think it's an interesting question.
Jalen Wright's a stud, man, and he got like two carries this last week again. I just shake my head and like, dude, you have people hurt. This guy's an absolute stud, and I'm sure he has his reasons for not playing him, but you need to run the football well to take any type of pressure off of Skylar Thompson going forward.
Yeah, I think they're going to have to play the other quarter. I think they're going to play a different quarterback this week because I don't think Skylar Thompson's going to be able to practice.
It's going to have to be Huntley.
It's going to have to be Huntley, yeah. And then we'll see what they get to do. I'd expect a little better. I did expect a better effort on that front.
I got a couple more for you. We're staying in the NFC North here for a second. Is Jared Goff regressing to what Jared Goff was?
Well, I think Jared Goff looks a certain way depending on what they're able to do. And when they can't run the ball and have to play or have to play behind the sticks or off schedule or playing from behind, I think his limitations show because he's not going to create anything on his own. And it gets the game's just tougher, right? When their run game and that ability goes away, we've seen that over the course of his career, that's a difficult challenge for him. So the concern, I think, for Detroit, I wrote this a little bit in my column coming in, was I think they've been ahead of people offensively. Now, maybe not as much in the division where people really study them, but I've been waiting to see this year if people kind of figure out their MO offensively a little more just from studying them. And some of that is being a four down offense, just kind of the way they, you know, that they're super aggressive on fourth down and they really build that into how they play. I think that will be interesting to see, including this week, because they play the Monday night game against Seattle and Mike McDonald is a really good defensive schemer. So is this a game where they get stymied, right? And Goff struggles a little bit. It could be both offenses could struggle in this game.
Do you think it's possible that maybe the league starts to catch up to Ben Johnson, the play caller?
Yeah, just a little bit, yeah. I mean, it's been so impressive. Has there been, these defensive coaches can be really good. Will the extra study and, you know, having a full year, another year of great play by them, give defenses some answers that maybe were elusive before, especially outside the NFC North when you don't see them and don't play them that often?
Talk with Mike Sando of The Athletic. Follow him on Twitter at SandoNFL. Jaden Daniels does what he does last night, and of course everybody is talking about how great he is, and maybe the Bears screwed up by not taking Caleb Williams after we've seen what Caleb Williams has looked like compared to Jaden Daniels. What do you make of those two quarterbacks right now?
Well, they were the two that I felt the best about coming in, and I think in the case of Caleb Williams, They haven't been able to protect him at all. And so to me, more of my questions go there towards the protection and then maybe what they're calling and running and trying to do that. I don't feel worse about him necessarily. I think it's been a tough situation for Jaden Daniels. It seems like they've been able to keep more off of his plate early, just like the DB for the Bengals said, but then it came out last night. I thought it was a different type of a performance by him, really encouraging with the downfield throwing, looks comfortable, just plays with a lot of joy. You know, it just seems like a really great vibe there. So real optimistic on Jaden Daniels. I do think he's skinny, and I'm worried about him every time he puts himself in harm's way. So I want to see it over the course of a year. He did a decent job yesterday getting sliding a couple times, but I think that's a concern for him. And then what's going to happen in Chicago is the attention is going to go to Shane Waldron first, and then it's going to go to construction of the offensive line, I think, before it goes to Caleb.
Mike Sandel, thank you so much for coming on. Read all of his great stuff. I enjoyed it. He's one of my favorite guys to read over there at The Athletic. Follow him on Twitter at SandoNFL. Mike, thank you so much.
Thank you.
You bet. You take care. There is Mike Sandel joining us here on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's.